You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's Friday, which is normally time for our reporter roundtable. However, due to special coverage from the White House, as President Biden just nominated Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson for the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, she is the first African-American woman nominated for a seat on the High Court. Judge Jackson currently sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. She was named to that seat last year by President Biden. She was also confirmed with Republican support. Now, if confirmed, she would be the first federal public defender to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court and the first justice since Thurgood Marshall to have criminal defense experience. And as this historic nomination happens here in the United States, we cannot forget that the country of Ukraine is under attack from Russia as we speak. In fact, Reuters is reporting that 100,000 Ukrainians have fled their homes after Russia's invasion started Wednesday night. And while some are leaving the country, most people are staying, but trying to find any safe space away from the fighting. And that's exactly what happened to a gentleman named Eugene. He is 30 years old. He works for an app company, and he had to flee his home in Kyiv Wednesday night. Our senior producer, Samantha Wright, got the chance to talk to Eugene just last night about what he's seeing in Ukraine. Sam, how did you connect with Eugene?
Well, we have a big fan of Idaho Matters, Gary in Boise. You may have actually heard his name before. He's a fan of the show. He sends in questions to our weekly Doctors Roundtable, and he got in touch yesterday, and he wanted to know if we wanted to talk to a friend of his who lives in Kyiv. And we said yes, and then before long last night, I was on a Zoom call with Eugene, who's in Ukraine, and it's, you know, kind of an example, I think, of just how small the world really is.
It really is, Sam. So what was it like to talk with someone in the middle of a country that is at war now?
Frankly, it's surreal. It's a very surreal experience and a weird conversation. And I started it all off, I just asked him like I would ask anybody, how are you doing?
It's been a rough day.
I bet.
Woke up to the sounds of explosions in Kyiv. The Russia started the attacks, like fire attack, air attacks for strategic places like airports and military bases and things like that. So that has been pretty rough and scary. But right now we're in a safe location outside of the capital. And things are calm in this area, but around Ukraine, there's still heavy fighting like all over the country. Yes.
Wow. I just can't imagine how terrifying that would be.
Yeah. This is, we saw missiles, like actual three missiles flying, to, a town close to Kyiv. And then we had a friend in the town who were near those explosions. Like, thankfully she was safe, but that's actually unimaginable. Even like we wouldn't imagine that this would ever be happening.
So Sam, how did Eugene first find out that the war had started in Ukraine, that Russia had invaded?
Well, he said he didn't want to believe that war could come to the country, even though there had been weeks of buildup and troops on the border. But he said he pretty much had been expecting it. And here's what he said happened on that first day.
The invasion started at around 5 a.m. And I think 6 a.m. was when I woke up. And my wife called me. And she's now in a different city. She came to see her mom in East Ukraine. And I think it's even a bit more dangerous there than it's now in Kharkiv. Around that time, I just woke up, started checking the news, then started like hearing these explosions out the window. They were closer to the central part of the city. So around that time, and I think for like 5 minutes, I felt like some, you know, like trembling and lots of stress and anxiety, but somehow it went away to some degree that I could function again.
And Jim, you know, throughout the conversation, he was very remarkably calm, very collected for someone who had to flee his home and frankly isn't sure what's going to happen next.
The mind just turns some kind of an emergency mode and like, okay, you need to stay calm. Here's what we're going to do. And it really helps that at this location we don't hear any. So I guess if we were like would have been much more anxious and agitated than right now.
Well, Sam, we're going to take a quick break, but I do want to come back to this conversation you had with Eugene. So stay with Idaho Matters. Continuing our conversation with our senior producer, Samantha Wright, as Samantha was able to spend some time last evening speaking with Eugene. He is a 30-year-old Ukrainian man living in Kyiv, and he is having to flee because of the invasion into their country. So, Sam, get us updated on what happened the day after. So we're talking, you got us up to the point of Wednesday night when Eugene is realizing that the country is truly under attack. War is happening. He wakes up and he realizes Russia is invading Ukraine.
Yeah. And this was very surreal when he was talking about it because he was very calm. He said he woke up, he watched the news for a little bit, and then some friends got in touch with him and said, you know, we really should get out of here. So he and his friends got together at the friend's house, and they found out that a lot of people were trying to move west to get out of Kyiv and to get out of the country, and that there were a lot of huge traffic jams. And you may have seen some of those if you've been watching any of the coverage. So Eugene, he actually used Google Maps to figure out where the roads were clear. And he ended up with his friends heading south.
I don't know. Providence maybe led us this path today. I'm happy that we chose this route for today. We feel that we're safe, and our family and close ones are also safe. And we thank God that they are.
When the U.S. embassy or U.S. evacuated our embassy in Kyiv last week, Eugene decided he was going to make some contingency plans. So he packed an emergency backpack, put in some food and some clothes, first aid kit. As of last night, he was in a safe place south of Kyiv, and he and his friends actually managed to get a tank of gas, and gas quickly became hard to come by. So when they have to move again, they said they'll be able to travel up to 300 miles, but they still don't know where they're going to go.
So, Sam, I mean, as we know, Eugene and his friends, they are safe, at least for now. But what is he most worried about? Because, this is not over.
Yeah. And the first thing he told me was staying alive. Yeah. That was hard to hear. He's obviously worried about his safety. He says there has been heavy fighting in some of the cities and that there have been Russian tanks in some of the suburbs. He's worried about the fighting, obviously, around the Chernobyl nuclear plant. And he's afraid that someone might use heavy weapons in the area and that might be a catastrophe for all of Europe. But he says morale is very high in the Ukrainian military. And he says the people in Ukraine, the people he's talking to, they're very calm and they're pretty much united right now.
Thankfully, right now, the civilian infrastructure seems to function okay. Like we have internet, we have electricity, water supply, heating, and things like that. And it's also really reassuring that you have access to information, and you also have connection to your friends and family. That helps a lot, because I can't imagine how people actually use to survive in such situation. They're not go mad when they don't know what to do and cut off from any source of information.
So Sam, was Eugene worried about retaliation of any kind when he agreed to talk with you?
No. I actually asked him this several times if he was okay sharing a story on the radio, and each time he said yes. And I was worried about, you know, using his name, mentioning the company that he worked for. But he told me that it was important for him to tell his story and to counter what he said was misinformation that's been coming from Russia.
It means a lot for us to be able to actually have the voice and be able to tell what's going on here. And it's not just like some civil conflict as Russia has been deeming it to be, but it's a full-scale war. Thank you a lot. And I'm confident that everything will be okay. The world is with Ukraine, and it's incredibly helpful and reassuring.
So Sam, I know that you spoke with Eugene last night before there was reports of fighting actually in the city of Kyiv. Have you heard from him today?
Not yet, but the last time that we did email, he said he was safe and he's just waiting and watching to see what would happen next. Although he did say that, he would probably have to leave wherever he was because it would become unsafe at some point.
And I know that we want to continue to keep in touch with him if we can. Correct? You talked to him about that.
Yep. He said he would keep giving us updates on what's happening as long as he can access the internet and still has power. And he really wants to talk about what's happening in his country.
So, Sam, let's talk a little bit about that because, it's interesting, I think, with social media, when we think about an invasion happening in Europe, I mean, it's been basically 80 years since World War II. We have not seen an invasion like this in the Western world, in Europe, since, for eight decades. Now we have social media that is showing us things that I think that we've never necessarily seen before, an invasion like this. But with that said, I know you and Eugene talked about, even with social media, even with mainstream media covering this, there are still things happening that we aren't seeing. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And this goes back to the conversation you had yesterday with the U of I experts on misinformation coming out of Russia and a campaign there. Not only is there some misinformation on social media that's put out by probably by Russia, we don't know by who, and others. We heard today in our newsroom here about basically folks who are spoofing some of the videos that are coming out of Ukraine to try and get people to click on their sites, which is just really boggles my mind. But it's really strange because if you look on social media, say on Twitter, and you watch some of the videos and see some of the pictures there, you see a bit of a different story than you do on a lot of news networks. And that includes the BBC or even NPR, because the journalistic standards of those networks are, if you can't verify where it came from and that it's real, then you don't show it. Also, you don't want to show anything too graphic. And social media often doesn't have that restriction. And so there are all sorts of videos and pictures and word coming from different parts of Ukraine that are still coming out on social media that are frankly frightening and pretty scary stuff.
And I think, Sam, something that really stood out to me was when Eugene said, "We know the world is with Ukraine." And I think with that is that there have been anti-war protests happening in Russia. And this goes back to, yes, there is state-run television. You know, the state tries to censor media, but there is still information getting into Russia. And with that said, there have been thousands of people showing up for anti-war protests in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, even in Siberia. There are reports that police in Russia arrested close to 1,400 people at these protests because they are trying to silence even people within Russia, because media is reporting that even the majority of Russians disagree with invading a neighboring country. And did that come up at all in your conversation with Eugene? I mean, had he been made aware of that piece of the puzzle when you talked to him, when you talked with him yesterday?
Well, I can tell you that he is seeing social media from around the world. And you're mentioning what's happening in Russia, and some of that is getting out, and there are protests going on all over the world. There were events in Texas and New York and all over the place for Ukraine. And he and the other folks in Ukraine are able to see that still on social media. So I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, Sam, thank you for taking the time to speak with Eugene. And of course, we will keep him in our thoughts. And of course, we will continue to have conversation with him as it is safe for him to do so. Thanks to our senior producer, Samantha Wright. I want to thank all of you for joining us for this quick Idaho Matters at noon. I'm Gemma Gaudette. I hope you have a good weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday.